You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as brilliant Brooks Koepka wins the USPGA Championship, his second major title of 2018, a year that started with a major wrist injury.
Looking where I was in my couch watching the Masters, to think I would do this, I would have laughed at you and told you there was no way, no chance. And to do what I've done is very impressive. I can't even believe it.
We'll hear more from Brooks later in the show, as well as from Tiger Woods, Adam Scott, and Justin Thomas, who pushed him all the way at Belrive Country Club. We'll also tell you which 8 Americans have earned automatic places in Jim Furyk's Ryder Cup team, look back on the European Golf Team Championships, and preview this week's European Tour event, the Nordea Masters in Sweden. Good to have you with us. I'm Robert Lee, and alongside me is Jamie Spence on the Race to Dubai show. Jamie, how are you?
Very well, Rob. Thanks. Good morning, everybody.
Well, Brooks Koepka held off the challenges of a resurgent Tiger Woods and Adam Scott to win his second major of the season at the USPGA Championship. Koepka started day 4 with a 2-shot lead, and that was how he ended it. But that did not tell the story of a dramatic final round at Belrive Country Club. Koepka was caught by defending champion Justin Thomas on the front 9 and Australian Scott on the way home, but kept his cool to record birdies on the 15th, 16th and signed for a 66 to get to 16 under par. Tiger Woods' 64 was his lowest ever final round in a major, and a birdie on the last moved him one shot ahead of Scott, who finished at 13 under par. An amazing week, an amazing win for Brooks Koepka, second major of the year, and phenomenal from Tiger Woods.
Yes, some major, wasn't it, really? They say it's a fourth major. Well, it wasn't really yesterday at all, was it? It was absolutely sensational stuff. Koepka, when he gets in front, that 63 he shot on Friday to put him right up there, he's really tough when he's in front. And that's a tough place to be, being up there and being. It's far easier when you're behind the leaders, not so much on you, really. But it doesn't seem to bother him at all. He just hits it an absolute mile. But not only that, he putts well. He's learned how to putt really, really well, up there with the best of them. So that's a real potent mixture on a golf course that really suited him down to the ground. Big green, soft, and playing very long.
Well, you and I were stuck here, glued to our phones and tablets, watching the golf. But the man that was in full Technicolor, on site,
is
the VOG, the voice of golf, Bob Bubka. Bob, how are you?
Good morning, guys. And I echo the sentiments. What a week of golf we witnessed. Obviously, the PGA of America celebrating their 100th anniversary, and they could not have written a more dramatic script for what unfolded, especially on Sunday.
What about the golf course, Bob? Because third time it held a major championship, it seemed to stand up pretty well.
It really did. When you plug in, guys, the amount of rain that came down here on Monday and on Tuesday, and then also during the competition, play had to be suspended due to rain. They had to come back the next day to finish the round. Overall, Belrive still was wonderful. I mean, it wasn't as difficult as it would have been had we not gotten the rain, but, you know, major golf depends a lot on Mother Nature, and Mother Nature dealt this tournament a blow, but everybody survived.
Jamie, is Brooks Koepka now becoming the guy that you look when he's in the lead after 3 rounds, you think he is not going to come backwards?
It does look that way at the moment. I mean, he's in a rich vein of form. He's young. He's nerveless as well. He's full of confidence. You only get that by winning. Winning in a couple of US Opens has given him immense confidence. And I think, as Bob said there with the golf course, with all the rain on it, it really does suit the longer hitters. Just look down the top 10 with Gary Woodland. Thomas Peters played very well, winning the sixth spot. John Rahm gives it a good hit. Tiger and Adam Scott, all long hitters, all power players, really. They've got all the game as well. But it really suited him, this golf course. And Koepka, when he gets on this type of course, is very, very dangerous.
Bob, Brooks has won 4 times on the PGA Tour. 3 of them are majors.
Not a bad percentage when 75% of your victories on any tour are major championships. I mean, absolutely incredible. And I want to go back to the Tuesday prior to the start of the U.S. Open. The USGA had invited all winners of USGA events from the previous year to put on an exhibition. They also invited Jack Nicklaus to act as the honorary starter. up on the 10th tee at Shinnecock, Tuesday before the U.S. Open. There's Jack. There's Brooks Koepka. I happen to be standing close enough to hear the question that Brooks presented to Jack Nicklaus, and it was as follows. Mr. Nicklaus, I've won one major, but I don't want to be known as somebody that only has won one major. What advice would you give me on how not to allow that U.S. Open victory a year ago be the highlight of my career? Jack took about 20, 25 minutes talking to Brooks Koepka, telling him obviously things that worked. I mean, Brooks goes out and wins that week for his second major. Now he backs it up with his third major. And I guarantee if we had Brooks on right now, he'd be giving some kudos to Jack Nicklaus for the advice he got on that 10th tee.
Well, Bob and Jamie, Jack tweeted after the event, and this is what he used to write about Jamie. He said, calm, collected, confident. That is the description of Brooks Koepka. He didn't seem aware of anyone else on the golf course. That's what you need to do in a major. Brooks had several opportunities to give PGA Championship away, and he was not even close, solid as a rock down the stretch. And that is exactly what he was.
That's how Jack used to play, wasn't it? Just never gave anything away.
Well, he knew others were. He just stayed in there. But Brooks, more than that, I mean, he takes it to the golf course.
Well, it's a different.
He doesn't.
Dynamic. The players. It's a different dynamic you're talking about. The length of these.
But Jack in his day was a monster.
Yeah, and the other thing about that...
Jack was like a Brooks or a Dustin.
Yeah, he was, but the players were intimidated by Jack Nicklaus, just like they were over Tiger Woods for 10 years. And I think Koepka's maybe developing this aura, this Superman aura around him that players are going to... When he gets on that leaderboard now, they know he's not going to go away, Rob.
Well, the amazing thing is when you look at the round by Brooks Koepka, you say, holy mackerel, did he perform? You forget that he missed four putts inside of 7 feet. Four putts and still wins by two shots. Tiger played brilliant golf and probably would have beaten just about anybody else in golf on that final Sunday. But as you described, the medal of Brooks Koepka is extremely durable. He's going to be tough to beat in the future if he stays healthy. I mean, matter of fact, let me bring this point up because I think it's very important. You know, he'd rather be playing baseball, and he certainly could. He's very talented. He'd rather be playing basketball. He certainly could be playing that. He could be playing in the NFL, probably as a wide receiver. That's how athletic Brooks Koepka is. And then when you take that ability to play other sports and channel it into golf, you got an amazing individual at the highest level of this game right now.
He certainly made the right choice, Jamie, I think, in terms of picking his sport.
Obviously he did, yeah. Well, you don't know, Rob, do you? I always think it's for young people listening in, play all sports. Just as Bob was saying, Brooks, just play all sports, yeah. And you'll find your sport. And those sports will help you in the sport that you choose, whether it be golf or whatever sport it is, because just play all sorts of sports because the skills are transferable between those sports. But touching on Tiger Woods, it wasn't long ago before we were saying, you know, do you think he can compete? Do you think he could possibly...
Oh, 12 months ago.
Do you think he could possibly win? I mean, look at it now. It's incredible, the journey he's made.
But let's just go back 1 week.
I know.
I mean, the question was posed stateside to me. The person that I was talking to 1 week ago was saying
that
Tiger is further away from winning now than he was just a couple of weeks before at the Open Championship. And that's what I heard. Bob, was that right?
Yeah, absolutely correct. And I'll tell you what, he might be even further away now after this performance because he gave it his all. He comes into Sunday, needs a great round, fires the lowest round he ever shot on a Sunday in a major, and it's not enough. So Tiger's realizing two things. Hey, I'm healthy, but boy, the competition might be healthier.
We shall see. Let's hear from Brooks Koepka, first of all, who, of course, was the winner in St. Louis.
4 and 5 to make two bogeys right there, and then I think I was tied for the lead at that point, and I figured obviously I had to get it going, and to birdie 7, 8, 9 was kind of a big momentum shift for me, I felt like, and especially with Tiger making that run basically right at that same time when we were on, I think, 10 green. And from 12, Scotty birdied 12 and 13, and it became a really tight race. But the shots I hit coming down the stretch were very good. We had a perfect number into 15, and then 16 I mean, I hit a laser right at the flag, and that's probably one of the best shots I've ever hit under pressure.
You had today had the opportunity to hoist your second major championship trophy in just 56 days. Is there any way you can, in such a short time, grasp the magnitude of that brand of accomplishment?
No. When I look at what I've done in the past 2 months, it's incredible. Looking where I was, sitting in my couch watching the Masters, and to think I would do this, I would have laughed at you and told you there was no way, no chance. And to do it is really incredible. You know, my doctors, physios, trainers, everybody did an unbelievable job, even to get back out on the golf course. And to do what I've done is very impressive. I can't even believe it.
So Dustin Johnson's his big buddy, Jamie. They're friends, but he's told him in no uncertain terms, I know you're world number one, but I'm coming to take it off you because I'm the best player in the world.
Well, they're driving each other along, aren't they? Both gym monkeys get in there, pump the iron, both very, very strong, hit the ball. Very similar players, aren't they? Dustin's trying to refine his game, get a little bit more touch in his game. He's been working hard on his pitching and his putting, but the two of them are formidable when they're on form. There's no doubt about it.
It is quite amazing when you've had an injury hiatus, Jamie, that you can then come back and get on it straight away. Because normally there's a spell of time where you think, am I fit enough? Will it hold up? Am I still injured? Am I okay? And all that translates into weeks and months, and you don't get your top form until much later down the road. His has been so quick.
Well, especially with a wrist injury, very unusual to come back all guns blazing, really, as Koepka's done. As you said, he's sitting on his couch watching the Masters thinking, well, you know, my season's done, really. I'm just hoping to get back, play some golf, make some cuts, and maybe at the end of the season win an event. It's been far from that. He's come back, and here we go, two majors. Yeah, he can't believe it, and I don't think anybody else can.
No, an amazing recovery, it really was. Koepka also spoke afterwards about dueling with his two childhood golfing heroes, Tiger Woods and Adam Scott.
Surreal. That's all I can say. I remember when I watched Adam win at the Players, I was so mad when he hit it in the water. I was probably as mad as he was, or as upset, and because I was rooting for him so hard. He's got the best golf swing ever, I think. It's so pretty to watch. He's one of the nicest guys once you meet him, too. He really is. And then, I mean, Tiger, for obvious reasons. Why would, as a kid growing up, that's the whole reason that all of us are people in my generation are even playing golf. It was because of him, and to duel it out with them. It's pretty neat. I don't think I ever dreamed of that. It really is surreal, man. It's really cool. Other than me, my team, everybody was rooting for Tiger. As they should. You know, he's probably the greatest player to ever play the game, and to have the comeback that he's having is incredible. You know, you look at the British Open when he finally got that lead, how energetic that crowd was, and then when he started making that run, it brought me back to when I was a kid, when I was watching him and you heard those roars. I remember I went to the British Open when Ben Curtis won, and he was kind of making a charge, and you could hear the roar. I mean, being a part of that as a fan is cool, and even when you're playing, it's still pretty neat, and it kind of pushes you to step up your game. I mean, you have to, because you know he's right there if you fall.
Great thoughts from Brooks Koepka about battling with Tiger Woods and Adam Scott. Speaking of Adam Scott, Bob, did he use two putters yesterday?
He had two putters in his bag. He had a long one and he had a short one, which certainly wouldn't be a confidence boost before you teed off. But Adam Scott certainly took full advantage. He was given a special exemption into this championship by the PGA of America. I applaud them for doing that. Certainly Adam Scott with his game proved that he belonged here. And I think this may motivate Adam Scott. He's too good to be, you know, not part of the big picture at the top of the, you know, golf world. With that talent, both you guys recognize the quality of that golf swing. I mean, the putting, when they took away the long putter, it set him back. But, you know, I think now he's excited. I think he'll work really hard in the off season, and I expect possibly a major from Adam Scott next year.
Well, Koepka is the first man to win the U.S. Open USPGA Championship in the same year since Woods achieved the feat in 2000 on his way to the Tiger Slam, and only the fifth person to do it in history. That's how special it was. His aggregate total of 264 is the joint lowest in major history, matching Henrik Stenson's score at the 2016 Open Championship. Now, what about the rest of the leaderboard? Let's hear from Tiger, who was second at Belrive. The last of Wood's 14 major championships came 10 years ago. But after a decade of injury troubles, he has raised hopes that he could win a 15th.
I was pretty ticked at the British Open. I had the lead there. This one, I never quite got to the lead. It was a golf course in which I couldn't sit still and make pars and be okay with it. I had to keep making birdies. The golf course was soft. It was gettable. And Brooksy, what he's doing back there, it's tough to beat. When a guy hits a 340 down the middle, that's tough. And, you know, what he did at Shinnecock, you know, just bombing it. And then he's doing the same thing here. I played with him in practice round. He was literally hitting it 340, 350 in the air. And when a guy's doing that and hitting it straight and as good a putter as he is, it's tough to beat. As I said, this has been a process of building. You know, I didn't know what I was going to start this year and how many tournaments I was going to play, how well I was going to play, what swing I was going to use. But I'm in uncharted territory because there's no one's ever had a few spine hitting it like I'm hitting it. So I've had to try and figure this out on my own. And it's been really, really hard. It's a lot harder than people think. And I'm just very pleased at what I've done so far. And to be part of the Ryder Cup conversation, going from where I've come from to now in the last year, has been pretty cool.
Well, Bob said last week that Tiger was a shoo-in. He was going to get a pick, and that's absolutely endorsed now. He's inside the top 12. He will be playing in the Ryder Cup, which is going to be amazing. And to that point here, Tiger Woods tweeted, "I can't thank the fans in St. Louis enough for packing the course all week and for their enthusiasm and support. It meant so much to me. The fans on the last day, Bob, were incredible."
The event was sold out. It was everything that the PGA of America could hope for. As you celebrate your 100th anniversary, you want great fan support. Well, they got it here in St. Louis. And just as a sidebar, we're talking a lot about the strength of Brooks Koepka. Well, Saturday morning in the gym, prior to playing in the third round of a major, he bench pressed 250 pounds 14 times. 250 pounds 14 times. And that's why he hits it 350 a lot of times, like Tiger said.
God, I thought you were going to say that 14 times then, Bob. I'm very pleased about that. But Jamie, that's a ridiculous amount of weight before you go out and play.
Oh, I wouldn't know. I mean, that's much heavier than me for a start.
It's about Bob.
It's about Bob.
He's bench pressed Bob.
It wasn't you, Bob, was it?
He didn't have the strength to go over that 250 limit, so I was eliminated.
he bench pressed the bar, Bob. You were in the bar. So, what did Adam Scott make of his week at Belrive? So we leave this conversation for just a few seconds. The Australian had slipped to 76th in the world before this event.
I think if you told me I would have shot these scores at the start of the week, I would have been very pleased. This was some really good golf. It is hard to rationalize everything after leading with four holes to play, and you want to win from that position. And I feel like I've led a lot of majors with four holes to play and not won them. But 70, 65, 65, 67 is good golf at a major championship. Just unfortunately, just didn't have it the last couple of holes. I just didn't drive it up to what I would expect in this kind of situation to win. But I think overall, there were lots of positives for me.
It's got to take the positive, Jamie, hasn't he? Because you look at Brooks Koepka, record-equaling performance score-wise, 264. You can't really be too hard on yourself. You just finish a little shy of that.
Well, just have a look around you. Just have a look who's around you. The Open champion, Jon Rahm, Tiger and Koepka and Justin Thomas, and he's right in there again. Adam, he had two putters this week. Short one for the long ones and the long one for the short ones. So there's his, and I think he's trying to address his putting problem.
It's a game of opposites.
I think you've got to think outside the box. I can see that, yeah.
It's what clubs do you drop?
Well, on a course like this, we probably drop the 8 or a 9 iron. I suppose you work out what the par 3s are and drop one of your short irons.
Interesting. Well, Justin Thomas threatened to win back-to-back US PGA Championship titles at one stage, but couldn't sustain his challenge.
It was a good day. I felt like I had a lot of positives. The only negatives is I felt like I had a great chance to win this tournament, and on the beginning of that back nine, and then I didn't even have a chance the last couple holes, which hurts pretty bad because I love being in that position. I felt very comfortable. I just flat out didn't execute the shot. 14 was a bummer. I should have never been there. I mean, I had a wedge in my hand. I should have had it inside 10 feet for birdie, and that just kind of killed all my momentum.
Top three in the world, Bob. Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, and now Justin Thomas. That's pretty strong from your side.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're all very similar in that they're so long off the tee. I mean, Justin Thomas doesn't look like Dustin Johnson or Brooks Koepka, but he is amazingly long for his size. His clubhead speed is absolutely incredible. But that's what you have to be nowadays. I mean, look at John Rahm. I mean, yeah, anybody near the top of this leaderboard this week at Belle Reve was long off the tee. It's almost a requirement now to win at the highest level. There's no more, finessing a major championship. You just got to go out and kill the golf ball in order to have a chance.
Well, when you see the strength of the length of the players in the world's top 10, which we'll do in a minute with Jamie, you'll see that apart from two, the other eight are just monster hitters. It's incredible. Top 10, Jamie, please, from the USPGA Championship.
Well, tied 10th, Rob, couple of Europeans, Cabrera Bayo and Tyrrell Hatton, both shot 64s yesterday. Terrific performance. And just outside the top 10, Jordan Spieth. Quiet week for him, but 12th. Pretty good for Jordan. Tied 6th was Thomas Peters. Good to see him back. The Open champion, Molinari, Justin Thomas and Gary Woodland. Tied 4th, John Rahm. Stuart Sink, what a performance from him. Adam Scott was 3rd. Tiger, runner-up, and our champ, Brooks Koepka.
So, last week's predictions, let's run through that. Each week, it's the presenter versus the co-presenter, and the points are awarded 20 points for a win, 10 for a top 5, 5 for a top 20, minus 5 for an MC, a missed cut. Dan Roebuck went for Tommy Fleetwood, who tied for 35th, so he was even, 0 points. Bryson DeChambeau, missed cut for Roebuck, minus 5 points for the presenter. I, in Jamie's seat, went for Justin Thomas, who finished 6th, that was 5 points. Rory McIlroy tied 50th, no points, that's 5 points, so that's a 10-point diff to the co-presenters. And Bob, you went for Justin Rose, 5 points because he finished 19th, and Ricky Fowler, who finished 12th, 5 points. 10 points you garnered, Bob Bubka, impressive.
Well, I think it's a little more impressive than what Brooks Koepka did. When I go up against pundits with the talent that you two guys have and I come out on top, I'm going out and celebrate right after we end this broadcast.
And it'll still be 4 o'clock in the morning for you, of course. No change there. just the overall scores, it's 105 to the presenters, and the co-presenters have now raised their bar to 90. So just 15 between presenter and co-presenter. US Ryder Cup rankings, Jamie, that's now done and dusted in terms of the solid eight that have picked themselves.
Yeah, these are the eight that are definitely in the team. Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, Patrick Reed, Bubba Watson, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, and number eight, Webb Simpson, with four picks to come. Are they going to pick three the same time as Europeans, which is the week of the European Masters? And they're keeping one back. Quite sneaky, that, for the Americans.
What about you, Bob? How do you think the strength of your eight looks?
Well, certainly, I think it's incredible. And it's going to need to be incredible. I was speaking to Thomas Bjorn early in the week, and what he's delighted about is the venue that this Ryder Cup is going to be contested on. He feels and he knows that his side has complete knowledge of the golf course, whereas the Americans, very few of them, have ever played that golf course. And because the talent level is so close to being equal, knowing the golf course, in Thomas Bjorn's opinion, is probably just what they're going to need to put them over the top.
Well, Jamie, speaking of Thomas Bjorn, let's have the European Ryder Cup rankings.
On the European points list, the top four are Francesco Molinari, Justin Rose, Tyrrell Hatton and Tommy Fleetwood. Can't see any of them missing out. And then on the world points list, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Alex Noren and Ian Poulter just sneaks past Paul Casey by a point to get the eighth spot.
So, Bob, just before we say goodbye to you and thank you for your sterling performance again this morning, I know you can change your mind in 7 days. Have you changed your mind about the outcome of the Ryder Cup now you've seen your automatic eight picked and done, dusted?
Well, I think it's going to be an extremely competitive Ryder Cup. And because my room might be bugged by the American PGA, I am going to say that the United States definitely is going to come away with the victory.
That's great stuff, Bob. Listen, Bob, thank you very much for getting up early and putting in all the hard work that you do for us each and every time we make contact with you. A fantastic week at the PGA, and we look forward to speaking to you very soon.
Thank you guys for having me. It certainly has been an exciting year. The four majors, incredible. And we still have the Ryder Cup to look forward to. It's going to be very exciting.
Great stuff, Bob. Take care.
Take care, guys.
See you, Bob.
Well, it's always great to hear from Bob. And, God, he's so enthusiastic. All the years he's had in the game and all the greats that he's watched and sharing a cab with Tiger to watching Brooks Koepka win the latest major championship. He really is an asset to the show, no doubt about that. Now, in the fancy race to Dubai game, Ingmar Bergman still leads the overall global standings, while Emil Stelrot got the most points last week. In the Race to Dubai show mini-league listener, Jean Lequin, great name, was the highest scorer from the US PGA Championship, while Chris Coles now tops the table. Check out the fancy three to watch for the Nordea Masters this week on europeantour.com. Jamie, top 10 in the Race to Dubai, please, after the US PGA Championship.
Well, in 10th spot, a bit like the US PGA, Rafa Cabrera-Bello. In 9th, Tyrrell Hatton. Russell Knox is number 8. John Rahm is 7. Torbjørn Erlesen is 6th. Alex Noren, 5. Rory is in 4th spot. Tommy Fleetwood, 3. Patrick Reed, number 2. And the Open champ, Francesco Molinari, are number 1.
And would you please follow that with the World Rankings top 10 as well?
Well, it's an impressive list, the World Ranking. Tommy Fleetwood is number 11, let's say that.
Spot the long hitters, by the way.
Yes, let's pick them all out here. Jason Day at 10. Ricky Fowler at 9, Jordan Spieth at 8, Rory is at 7, Francesco Molinari is at 6, John Rahm 5, Justin Rose number 4, and then the three big hitters, Justin Thomas at 3, Brooks Koepka at 2, and Dustin Johnson at number 1. But it's close between those two.
It is, two buddies and going toe-to-toe at the top of the world rankings. Now, in the European Golf Team Championships at Gleneagles, part of the multi-sport European Championships co-hosted by Glasgow and Berlin. A reminder that there were 16 men's and 16 women's pairs trying to win the two match play events for their nation. Then two men and two women joined together into teams of four for an 18-hole foursome stroke play mixed team championship. Iceland powered to gold in that one. In the mixed event on Saturday, Valdis Thora, Jons Dottir and Birgir Hafthorsson closed their round with three straight birdies to sign for a superb 70, while teammates Axel Boasson and Alafia Kristín Dottir carded a 71, one stroke clear of the field. In Iceland, I am committing treason by these pronunciations. However, we press on. Jons Dottir said, hopefully our victory will encourage kids to pick up golf in Iceland. I would imagine golf is quite expensive in Iceland.
Well, there's only...
Everything's expensive in Iceland.
Well, Iceland's population's only, what, 350,000? Not many people. That's an incredible feat. There can't be many golf courses in Iceland.
Great Britain 3, Megan McLaren, Liam Johnson, Connor Simon, Michelle Thompson took the silver medal. Sweden 2 secured the bronze after a playoff against Spain. But countries have more than one team in there, Jamie. That was the point of that. That's why you're hearing number 2 and number 3.
Bit like the bobsleigh.
A bit like the bobsleigh.
A bit like the bobsleigh. Number yeah. 1, 2 and 3. Doesn't mean to
three.
Say that number 3, obviously number 3 was the better team.
But what's important, in a four-man bobsleigh, where would you be in the bobsleigh? What were you? Are you 1, 2, 3 or 4? Where would you think you'd be?
Well,
I think a comfortable 2 or 3.
I think I'd be the driver, because I think you get it first, don't you? Be the driver or the brake man. I wouldn't. The power men are in the middle, aren't they? That's not me. No.
Bit of finesse.
Finesse, touch and guile.
Finesse, touch and guile.
I'll be driving them
and
down
lots
there.
Of it. Buckets of it. Scott Fernandez and Pedro Oriol won gold for Spain in the men's team match play competition as mixed team champions Iceland late fight back came up just short. They nearly had a double. The lead changed hands in the early stages as the rain poured down at Gleneagles, but Spain won, held a commanding three-hole advantage as they began the back nine after winning four holes on the spin from the sixth. Iceland's Hafthorsson and Boasson bounced back brilliantly in the closing stages, winning the 16th, 17th to take the match to the 18th hole. But after both teams got into tree trouble at the last, Fernandez, who's a long hitter, by the way, holed his birdie putt from around 10 feet to hand Spain a two-hole victory and the gold medal. Oriol said, before playing this tournament, Scott and I were talking about winning the gold medal, and we did it. It's an honour to play for Spain, and it's an honour to win a gold medal for Spain. To describe it in one word, awesome. In the women's event, Sweden 3 took gold, France 2 took silver, Great Britain 3 were the bronze medal winners. Jamie, on winning a medal for your country in whatever sport you're in, how important is it? How big is it? How good does it make you feel?
Well, I just don't think we play enough team golf. as professional golfers, especially on tour. It's a very difficult format to put together. As you can see by this, it sounds quite complicated. It's not, really, but you just listen to Pedro Oriol say, you know, to play for his country, obviously as a footballer or a rugby player, whatever it is, you get lots of caps and play for your country, but as a golfer, you don't get that luxury, really. So to play for your country is something else, and to win a medal, I think this can only get better and bigger, and I also think the mixed event of it is a great way forward as well. So, full marks for putting this on.
Yeah, very good indeed. Very good indeed. Now, on the European Challenge Tour, Kim Koivu became the first Finn to win his country's biggest golf tournament after birdieing the first playoff hole to claim the Viamäki Finnish Challenge over Scotland's Robert McIntyre.
Lots of Scandinavian players, aren't they, playing? I mean, you think
you'll
Mikko,
see this week Mikko at the Nordea Masters.
Mikko Korhonen winning this year on the European Tour, and then this lad here, what's his name? Koivu. Never heard of him, I've got to be honest with you. The Icelandic, playing very, very well in Glen Eagles. So
it's good stuff.
It's an up-and-coming game.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Now, this is different sort of news, very sad news. Golfers from around the world sent heartfelt tributes to the family of Jarrod Lyle after the Australian player passed away. The 36-year-old had been fighting cancer for the third time. He first beat leukemia after being diagnosed in 1999. As a teenager, he relapsed in 2012, but fought back courageously to return to professional golf. And I mean, I don't know, Jamie, I'll give you some tributes in a minute from some of the players, but I don't know how financially secure he was with his wife and two young kids, but I reckon the world of golf is going to rally around them and see them right.
Oh, that's without question, Rob.
Well, Mark Leishman said, with a young family myself, I can't imagine what Jarrod and the Lyle family are feeling now. It's hard enough saying bye for a few weeks, let alone goodbye forever. Hope you find peace and know you'll be remembered as the bloke who brought life into every room you entered. Love you, mate. Billy Horschel said, sad news about Jarrod Lyle. He fought an unbelievable fight for so long. Awful that it ends this way. He was a blast to hang around. He could make you laugh and put a smile on your face. Horschel family sends all the love and support to his wife, Bree, daughters Lucy and Gemma. Luke Donald, life is precious and we all take it for granted too often. Seeing the picture of Jarrod Lyle hugging his family with not long to live brought tears to my eyes. Peace be with you. You will be missed, Jarrod. Kiss from him. So I think it's resonated with everybody in golf because he had a profile on the PGA Tour and the web.com tour. And
well, his game was on the up. I didn't know him personally, but I started
every time he
to
got going,
note.
he got the regression with the illness. It was
I started to notice him as a golfer, and yeah, this is terribly sad news. So young to be lost to us.
And you know, Jarrod and par threes, he had a good run with them. In 2016, he made the first hole and won the European Tour season at the Australian PGA Championship. In 2011, I remember this one, when he holed at the 16th at the TPC Scottsdale. Did you ever see that?
No, I haven't seen that. That's the hole to do it on.
That's the hole to do it on, with 30,000 people around that green going ballistic. And he knocked it in there. It was unbelievable. His reaction was absolutely fantastic. And then in 2015, he made two aces in a charity match in Melbourne, an event which raised funds for children's cancer charities. So even though he was afflicted by that disease, he was out there raising money. So our best wishes to Jarrod's family, and I'm sure they'll be well looked after by the world of golf. He'll be sadly missed. Now, this week's event on the European Tour is the Nordea Masters in Sweden. This year, it's at a new venue, the Hills Golf Club in Gothenburg, one you probably don't know.
I haven't played this one. I've played in Gothenburg a few times, but not this golf course.
Okay, Renato Paratori is the defending champion. This is a big week because of where it comes in our calendar and because it's one of three last counting weeks for somebody to make a noise if they want to get a pick in the European Ryder Cup side.
Yeah, we've got this one, Czech Masters, and then the final event at Thomas Bjorn's course in Silkeborg, made in Denmark. So, as you say, points and a half as well. There's a lot of points to play for. Someone's going to put their hand up. There's no doubt about it. Thomas Peters, who played well in the USPG, he's not playing here, but he's playing the next two. So someone's gonna come out of the pack here and say, pick me, Thomas. I'm not sure anyone's going to qualify from playing these events. Torbjörn Olofsson could, of course. He's playing here this week. You've got to think, he's been on a long run, Torbjörn, from the Open through the WGC, where he played so well, and then last week where he made the cut. So, you know, he could cement his place in the team. I think it'd be very unlucky, Olofsson, if he doesn't get a pick where he is in the standings. But someone who we're not really thought about is going to do what Eduardo Molinari did at Glen Eagles when he got picked for 2010, when Thomas Peters got picked for Hazeltine as well.
In the Made in Denmark, yeah.
In the Made in Denmark. So someone is.
It's supposed to be beautiful there. It was only opened in 2005. It's in a nature reserve. Hills and Forest designed it originally. Then it's been redesigned by Johan Ebfors. More latterly, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 18 have had some tweaking, and seven greens have been redesigned for the 2018 season. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I've always enjoyed going to Sweden. Always get huge galleries. They love their sport and they love their golf. They love coming out this time of the year. Weather's normally pretty good. But the course has been, I mean, just like the rest of Europe with the heat wave we've had this summer, there's not been much growth in the rough and the fairways have been burnt. They've had a bit of rain. I looked at the weather forecast. They've had a bit of rain over the weekend. And there's a little bit of rain forecast this week, which might just soften it up a bit. They've looked after the greens and tees, obviously, but with water restrictions, you could see almost like a British Open type feel to the golf course, or certainly look. So, again, we're thinking of players who give the ball a healthy hit. But Sweden golf courses normally have those pine forests which define them, like Barsebäck does. So I'm looking forward to seeing it, Rob, as you are.
And don't be first to the bar to buy a big round.
Not in Sweden, no. It's not as expensive as Denmark, but it's nearly up there.
When I first went to Sweden back in the early 80s, it was a shock.
It was
£5 a pint then.
About £1.30
Oh, it wasn't even a pound, yeah, back in those days.
It's not so bad now.
No, it's not so bad now.
Denmark's expensive.
It is, and we'll be going there.
We will,
fairly shortly. Give us a flavour of who's playing.
Well, Martin Keimer is playing. Torbjörn Erlason is playing. Latest winner of the Porsche, Richard McAvoy, is playing. Alex Bjork, an underrated, still underrated, I think.
But he's Alexander won this year, though.
He's still hovering under the radar, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Alex Levy's down to play. Now, what about, could he put his hand up at the 11th and a
being
half
French.
Hour?
Being
could
French.
Because he's had a poor summer.
He's going to have to win twice, I reckon.
Do you think he's going to win twice?
Yeah, I do.
Lucas Bjerregaard, another player I like, he's playing. Beef, he's there as well. So, good mixture of players, Robert.
So you have the chance to pick two players.
I do.
One from outside the top 50 last year on the Race to Dubai and one that you think could win. Obviously, you think they could both win, but who are you going to go for?
Well, not easy. I made my choice and I've forgotten. Lucas Bjerregaard is one of my picks.
That's right.
Who is my
one? Well, in the meantime, while you're stalling, I'm going to go for Richard McAvoy, who broke through, obviously didn't play the PGA week, and will be coming here now as a champion on the European Tour. And hopefully he has built a platform that he can really go on and have some consistent performances. So I'm going to go for Richard McAvoy and Aaron Rye, a fine young English player who I watched make one swing at the British Par 3 Championship and it looked really good. So
well, he's had a good season. Played very, very well. I know my other pick now. Nicholas Coulthard. He's my top 50 pick. Bjerregaard finished outside the top 50. They're my two.
No, I like it. That's it for now. Let's see if you can remember in about 15 seconds' time. Next week, we'll review the Nordea Masters and look ahead to the D+D Real Czech Masters. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat via europeantour.com or by downloading the official app. So, from Jamie Spence, it's goodbye. Who's gone for?
Nicholas Coulthard, Lucas Bjerregaard.
And myself, Robert Lee, has gone for Richard McAvoy and Aaron Rye. Bye-bye.